Welcome to Technology Espresso Cafe Radio. After 7 years, over 700 episodes, and over 70,000 listeners, we continue to stay nimble and agile. We want to engage our young people, parents, and educators to introduce STEM early by leveraging our curriculum based on Smart Sarah, Perceptive PJ, and their friends and family that promote diversity and inclusion. We also want to connect with our college and young professionals pursuing careers, especially in the field we know best, technology and IT. We also weave in tips related to the agile mindset and being agile to continue to promote a way of life that helps us learn to stay flexible, relevant, and ahead of the game in technology. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your technology and educational experience. And remember to listen, learn, leverage, and launch your dreams and reach your full potential.
Hello, today our letter is C. We're going to talk about crowdfunding and crowdsourcing. And breaking it down, it pretty much sounds like what each individual word is. Going to the crowd, to the public, to your audience, to your followers, to help them and to leverage them as a resource or a source of information, to use their talent, usually donated time. And by using a crowd, a large group of volunteers, you're only using a small percentage of each individual person's time and talents, and therefore, again, it being a volunteer basis, something that you might, if you just had one person providing that service, you might have to pay and more than what you can afford. And being a startup, being an entrepreneur, this is where the creative side of that startup process takes place. It's a cousin to bartering. When, again, if you have someone that volunteer, they're giving, they're donating, contributing, you don't necessarily just want to build your whole business and your future empire and source of income just off of quote-unquote free labor. The concept, the idea is that there's some type of reciprocation, and some of that just might be because of the feeling that they are contributing to a bigger goal, a bigger cause, something that has an outcome other than just helping you, again, build your empire and make profits. It's a lot of times just a feeling of a bigger vision in a community that you're serving. I myself have a bookstore, and the idea is that we want to make sure that a percentage of all that we do is going to the underserved community, especially minority young people, and that's people of color. It just could be also people that are economically challenged, and especially little girls who have been on the outside fringe of STEM. So when people give, contribute, donate, whether it's their time, their talent, or their treasure, then they know that a percentage of it's giving back. And we make sure that that's published and public, including we have a long history from the very beginning. Even when we weren't making money, we were still making sure that there were scholarships for young people to go to STEM camps. And so that is the kind of way to inspire people to want to volunteer their time, talent, and treasure to help you in sourcing, to help you get on your feet. And you don't just want to tap in on immediate friends and family. You really want to lay out a vision and a platform that inspires just volunteers that make a connection strictly through what your cause and what your vision is. Crowdsourcing, also another way to engage people, is through making a piece of work and presenting it in the form of a game. And maybe even there's some prizes, a competition. Some of us have probably in some of our past organizations, if you want to name a particular event, you have a contest to have people to submit different suggestions for the name. I've worked with groups where designing a t-shirt or designing a logo, they took it to the crowds and said, whoever comes up with the best design. And sometimes it's just the privilege of being the winner and your winning design being out there. Just bragging rights is enough that motivates people to want to give and to donate. It's never ceases to surprise me how much people they want to be part of something and want to contribute and have the time to give and to donate. So don't be shy about coming up with creative ways. If there's something that you're in need of, using a crowdsourcing approach. I talked about game. I talked about taking a big task and turning it into a micro task and having many people work on it. Even in the form of a paint party, you acquire a new building. I've more than once grabbed a paintbrush and helped someone in the renovation process of a new workspace that they were creating. They were basically getting volunteers, free labor, to help, again, in helping something that might have cost them and might have blown their budget. And where you can cut corners, why not? Don't be shy about that. So it just starts with looking at what tasks you have ahead of you, or future expenditures, thinking about in what ways could you reach out to a specific community that might have the talent and the resources, and then inviting them out, and then making sure that it's a good experience for them. Even if every volunteer walks away with a t-shirt, it has the dual purpose of that community involvement, or building that community, building followers who have a vested interest in your success. So imagine everyone, if you brought them out and they helped paint and renovate a new space as you open it up, when that opening day comes, they're going to bring friends to show them, hey, this is what I participated in. I had a hand in this. And you are creating your followers and your community. So the second part of this is crowdfunding, which is the same thing. Going out and people donating to your cause, to raise your startup capital. And in some cases, some groups have completely raised money and all the money that they needed, and bypass going to banks, taking out loans of any sort, just by crowdfunding. Everybody giving a little bit. The bottom line to all of this is that you, as the person with the idea and the vision, have to be able to paint a picture, tell the story, and even show the intended outcome, how the money is going to be spent and used to achieve what your vision is. And communicating that, socializing that, selling and marketing that idea to, so that people buy into it and want to, in their small way, make a contribution to it. So continue to hone what is that your story, what is the backstory, what is the message. And for those that you want to be part of that volunteer workforce or even that volunteer funding source, honestly thinking what's in it for them. It's not fair that it's just empty-handed, that they leave empty-handed. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something physical, but something that is still yet tangible, that my contribution, I'm contributing to this cause and the outcome, the visible evidence of what I invested in will be more students engaged, students having a place to go, to be exposed, to see things, to cultivate a generation that knows where they're going and feels vested, feels seen and heard. Those are, I'm using those because those are some of the tangible things that people who know our program know, that that's some of what we do with the overflow income that we give back to students. And a prime example is when we opened the doors of our physical store just this past February. I had some of the teachers, one of them being Gladys Bolden, who ran a program called Biolog, came. And I also had the students that attended that are now 4, 5, 6 years older than when they attended her camp to come back and get to see their teacher, their instructor. Our joke was they didn't recognize her without her lab coat. Those of you who know Gladys Bolding and the Biolog programs that she's presented, it has been just our pleasure. And we're going to continue to follow the students that have gone through the program to see where they go and where they go next. And those who know, as I've opened the physical bookstore, I am now even bringing some of those students to be even employees here at the store, little summer jobs, because they've grown up with the STEM, with the Smart Sarah, and the Perceptive PJ. So the give back just continues to evolve, and those who know Espresso Books knows that that's, it's a core value for us, and it's a core to what we stand for. And there, where whatever we receive, we're always finding a way to sow it and give back, especially to the underserved and the youth. So that's our story. And the story continues to evolve. The last piece is, if you do plan to do some crowdsourcing or some crowdfunding, consider setting up a 501c3, a nonprofit, so that it's also a tax write-off to those who do make donations. You can have your for-profit arm of your business, and you can have your nonprofit. Please, this isn't the episode where you're going to get a full explanation of the difference between the two and how to make sure that you're following the rules and the guidelines between a profit and a nonprofit. Seek out great organizations like the SBA, the Small Business Association, for more information. But I always like to drop little seeds that will inspire you to go out and research and search out more information. So I hope you heard something, learned something, will use it, apply it, and continue checking back with us. Thanks for checking in. I'm Jacqueline Sanders Blackman. Bye for now.